Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we'll be discussing Heaven's Gate. Here's what you need to know. On March 26, 1997, the bodies of 39 members of an obscure cult were found by San Diego police in an apparent mass suicide. The deceased, 21 women and 18 men of varying ages, were lying seemingly peacefully in matching black sweatpants, black button-down shirts with homemade patches that read, "Heaven's Gate Away Team," and black and white Nike sneakers. Draped on top of their bodies was a purple cloth. It was later revealed that the victims were members of an obscure cult which had existed since the 1970s called Heaven's Gate. The members believed that suicide would allow their bodies, or containers, to board a UFO hidden behind the Hale-Bopp comet as it made its 4,000-year orbit around the sun and passed near Earth, one of the major astronomical events of the 20th century. But how could a group of educated adults believe something so unbelievable to us? And how did it lead to one of the most confounding mass suicides of modern history? In 1972, Heaven's Gate was founded by Marshall Herth Applewhite and Bonnie Lou Nettles. The two met at a hospital in Houston where Nettles worked as a nurse, and they believed their fates were joined. Though they were never romantically involved, the pair, or the two as they were commonly referred to, traveled the country together searching for their calling. By 1975, the two had made their way to Oregon and had recruited a group of 20 people who had willingly abandoned their families and possessions to follow them. The group had been promised by its two leaders that the time would come when they'd be taken to the kingdom of God via an extraterrestrial spacecraft. The idea, as explained by Applewhite and Nettles, was that their bodies were merely containers that could be abandoned for the purpose of a higher existence. As a group, Heaven's Gate aimed to eradicate gender and advocated sexual abstinence. Several male cult members followed Applewhite's example by undergoing castration operations. The members also wore androgynous clothing and cropped haircuts in hopes of erasing any of their gender's characteristics. But in the early 80s, after the spacecraft that had been promised never arrived, some of its members abandoned the cause. A few years later, in 1985, Bonnie Nettles died from cancer, leaving Applewhite as the cult's sole leader. In the early 1990s, the group resurfaced due to Applewhite's use of the internet to recruit new members. When the Hale-Bopp comet was discovered in 1995, Heaven's Gate members were convinced that there was an alien spacecraft hidden behind the comet, which was sent to take them away. In October of 1996, Applewhite rented a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe in San Diego, California, under the guise that they were a group of Christian-based angels, and they all moved in. They began their mass suicide in late March of 1997, just as the Hale-Bopp comet was expected to be closest to Earth.
We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
The suicides took place over a course of 3 days. A coroner's report showed that they did not kill themselves simultaneously. Instead, they did it in shifts. First, a group of 15 members ate applesauce laced with barbiturates and washed it down with vodka. Then they tied bags over their heads, and after they were dead, the living members removed the bags and draped a purple fabric over their bodies. They each had exactly $5.75 in their pockets and a few belongings by their side. Next, another 15 members ate the deadly applesauce mixture, Applewhite among them. Then a group of 7 followed suit. In the end, the last 2 to die had no one left to help them. They were found with bags on their head and no purple cloth on top of them. When the police found their bodies on March 26, 1997, what followed was a media frenzy. The then obscure cult became a household name, and the images of white and black Nikes poking out from a purple cloth would forever be ingrained in the minds of those who lived through the 90s. Fun facts, aka death stats. 39 members of the cult died. The members killed themselves using a combination of phenobarbital, alcohol, and hydrocodone, probably consumed with applesauce or pudding. The members then put plastic bags over their head and suffocated to death, after which they were covered in shrouds. Applewhite was a late death, but not the last to die. 8 followers were castrated voluntarily. Just a day or so before enacting their meticulously planned suicides, the cult went out for a last supper together at the Marie Callender's restaurant in Carlsbad. It is said that they all ordered chicken pot pies.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
What?
And our very special guest today is comedian, good friend of mine, and podcaster as well, Kelly Hudson.
Hey, guys. Hi, Alarmy.
Kelly, why don't you tell the Alarmy about your podcast, The Squirt?
Well, The Squirt, let me just first say that the title was like a joke pitch at first. We just went with that title because why not? And it's actually been poignant because our goal at the beginning was to just talk about unconventional things that turn us on. And it's kind of just like grown into all things erotic and sex positive.
And also,
and we'll see if historical tragedies get you going. I mean,
yeah, we'll see. Yeah, maybe this will end up on a Squirt episode.
You never
Very
know.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
So, I mean, have any of us been part of a cult?
I took level one UCB improv.
Oh,
we do boom. Kind Plus. Of talk about how that's a little bit close to a cult. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's dive right in and start by putting up on the board Marshall Herf Applewhite.
Who's the main guy? He's the guy
He's the main guy. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the group. He's one of the two leaders of the group, but he is the leader of the group who lives the longest. According to Rolling Stone, the cult's philosophy took its roots from Applewhite's Presbyterian upbringing. His father was a minister and essentially grafted belief in extraterrestrials onto Christian theology. Applewhite told his acolytes that he was the second coming of Jesus Christ, that God was an alien, and that they were living in the end of times. They read the Bible, especially Revelation chapter 11 in the New Testament, which we'll talk about later, a section about two witnesses that would prophesy. At the end of their prophecy, they would have a battle. They would have to battle the demons, which Applewhite and Nettles called the Luciferians. So Applewhite was also known as Doe. They had a lot of nicknames.
Very Nexium. I hate it.
I know.
I hate it.
So Doe is, Bonnie was T and Marshall was Doe.
What was the point of the nicknames?
Like Doe a I'm deer not, or like it was the yes, note?
This was like Doe, Remy, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Doe.
Gotcha.
So it was because he used to actually be a music teacher. And she, Bonnie, was a huge fan of The Sound of Music. So that's where those...
Gotcha. It seems like Alpha... Okay, I know why. So Alpha and Omega is often used as like a way to describe God. It's like there's like the Latin symbols and it means mm-hmm. God. Do, you start with do, you end with do on the scale, beginning and end, boom.
Wow. And so then she picked
the
T.
Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
No, beginning and the end.
It is,
wow,
it
Kelly.
Is.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. Profound.
So, I mean, he also, something I learned about him was that he was previously married. He did have a wife and children that he left, but this was before he even started the cult. This was much earlier in his life.
I was wondering, what was his job at the hospital? They mentioned that the other woman was a nurse. Like, what was he doing?
Yes, great question. So we should also go ahead and put Bonnie Nettles up on the board, another great name.
Okay, adding her up. Yes, both such good names. And they are kind of alien, the names.
Yes, if there's ever an alien on this earth, her name is Bonnie.
Yes. Nettles. Oh, my God.
Bonnie Nettles. It sounds like Chris made it up.
Yes. Like... It does feel like a Chris makeup.
It does. It feels it's super fake, but it's real, right?
That's it's definitely real.
Okay. Yeah. She went with T because Bonnie Nettles wasn't weird enough?
Yeah. Okay. She wanted another one. They had a bunch of nicknames, especially all of the members ended up having nicknames. But let's talk about what Kelly was referring to, which is that Bonnie started off as a nurse, and she met Applewhite, Doe, Herf, he's also known as Herf, at a hospital. So there are various accounts as to why he was at the hospital. Some, you know, in this documentary that came out in HBO recently, they explain that he was apparently rehearsing for a role in the opera Susanna, and he had a psychotic breakdown and was taken to the hospital. And this is how he meets Nettles, who's a nurse at the hospital. This is in Houston. And but this is contested, though, because Applewhite would later say on camera that the two met while he was visiting, quote, a sick friend at a hospital. And then family members of Applewhite would say that he was at the hospital for a heart blockage or some kind of procedure. So we don't know exactly why he was at the hospital, but what we do know is that they met there And that Bonnie was at this time like very into reading astrological charts.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a gateway drug.
It is a gateway drug, I'm sure.
Heaven's gateway drug.
Heaven's gateway. No.
By the way, I want to backtrack a sec too, because are we talking about theater nerds?
Yes.
We're talking, so the UCB being a cult, I mean, there's a lot of parallels.
Yes, I have
here.
Also been part of the musical theater cult, nerd cult, I must admit.
Well, when you're up on that stage, it is an out-of-body experience. When you're out in front of that crowd and you're getting laughs and you're saying your lines.
Yeah, I do leave my container. And
I wonder what else is out there. You know what I mean?
So these two musical theater nerds, Bonnie reads the astrological chart for Applewhite, and in it she says that their fates are intertwined. And the two then begin this journey to find what their fate is. So they know that they're somehow connected together, but they don't know what it is that they're meant to do.
They were they may have just been like meant to make a pie together at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have apples on the brain because of his name, but like it just seems like they're just supposed to like, yeah, it doesn't mean that they need to start a cult and die together. Like, guys, wait, okay, do we know if he had the whole we need to die together thing set up before the late 80s? He had that kind of with that after she died, he kind of came up with this wild stuff.
Yes. So they're you know, their life together. This is in the 70s. I believe it's 72 when they meet. And they start traveling together. She has a family as well with kids. She leaves her abandons her family. And the two of them start traveling the country to kind of find whatever it is that they're looking for. And apparently they were camping one day when they were reading the Bible, and that's when they read the Revelations chapter 11, which says, "And I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord of the earth."
And they're like, "That's us!
That's us!"
Well, okay, hey. So let me give you... I found an explanation online for...
Hey, we're two people! They're like Beavis and Butthead, like, I think he's talking about us. Yeah.
Real quick, should we put the Bible up on the board?
Let's put the Bible, and I also think we should put astrological charts up on the board.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's like that Uncle Sam poster where he's pointing out, and he's like, we want you.
And the guy's like, me?
Me?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, people.
So here's an explanation of Revelation 11. The two witnesses in Revelation will have miraculous powers to accompany their message. According to Revelation 11:6, and no one will be able to stop them in their work. At the end of their ministry, when they have said all they need to say, the beast will kill them and the wicked world will rejoice. Allowing the bodies of the fallen prophets to lie in the streets. 3.5 days later, however, God's two witnesses will be resurrected and, in full view of their enemies, ascend to heaven.
Okay. That's a huge leap to Mbop or Halbop. What is
Halbop?
Halbop.
Yes, but we're trying to figure out how did we get to this, right?
Yes. So this is the stepping stone. Okay. This is planting.
So apparently, this chapter of the two witnesses is very well known and widely used in apocalyptic circles and cults. So the fact that it's undefined enough, it makes it easy for someone searching for a greater purpose to think it's them and to then use it to their advantage.
Right. Right. Yeah. Revelation, I feel like, is the redheaded stepchild of the Bible. I mean, I know there are a lot of redheaded stepchilds that they're like, oh, no, we don't stone people for adultery anymore. You know, they're just denouncing all kinds of things from the Bible, even though, you know, some people are just like, yeah, the whole thing's legitimate. But Revelation is definitely the most messed up, what part of the Bible? Like, where did this come from? Like, what about all that Christ stuff? Like, shouldn't we just love thy neighbor and just calm down? Like,
yeah, it does feel like
we single it out. Maybe
yeah,
we single
book of Revelation.
Out
the book of Revelations.
Yes, book of Revelations for sure.
We could say chapter 11 specifically if we want to
okay,
be super
yeah,
specific.
Let's be specific.
But what's interesting, though, is, well, Bonnie and Herf are, like you said, are the Beavis and Butthead of the situation, where they are like, okay, so we're the prophets. But then they take it one step further. They add a twist. They say they're the prophets, but they're also from outer space. And they're here to take their followers back with them.
You know, I don't want to jump too far into the future here. I know we're starting at the seeds, but like, I just feel like, you know, our question is like, how did these people jump from, how did these like smart seeming people decide to all kill themselves and like follow these people?
It's a very good question, and Kelly. And we are going to talk about
it. We are going to talk about it. But I feel like, you know, watching their video, I went down a wormhole and watched all of their like testimonial videos a long time ago and was so creeped out. But just because I see myself in these people, like I'm a little bit of a black sheep in that, like, I don't live at home. I feel like I'm weird. Like, my whole life, I've just
What do you mean you don't live at home?
Sorry. I left. What I mean is I moved away from my hometown. You know, my brother stayed. I don't live at home. Yes, I moved far away and just kind of, like, don't. I love my family and see them, but, and this isn't something that hopefully would have ever happened to me, but I definitely like left home looking for something because I felt like a weirdo. This alien thing, you know, I relate to it, and yeah. I think David Bowie would too. Like, he also says that he's an alien,
right? Well, I think that a lot of the music of the 70s and maybe parts some of the 80s like did incorporate the universe, and like there was an obsession with extraterrestrial life.
I think the moon landing is what's
time.
Let's put the moon landing up on the board.
Sure.
Because that must have set off this happened, obsession with space and aliens.
Totally.
And, yeah.
So since we're talking about it right now, I think we should go ahead and kind of put this obsession with alien life up on the board. As well as perhaps Star Trek.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay.
So according to IndieWire, a half-baked, hokey blend of pseudo-Christianity, New Age mysticism, and Star Trek lore, Heaven's Gate was built on the belief that humans were in fact extraterrestrial living in shells, known among the sect members as vehicles. In the Fractions, early in the 70s moment of the post-war, counterculture rattled America, some people were evidently easy targets. As the supposed messengers to help people shed their human bodies, they traveled to the country to share their wacky dogma, hinging on the idea that these alien hosts were soon meant to ascend to a higher place of being, a plane of beings. So why not join them? Now, Heaven's Gate Away Team. This is what the patches read on the shirts of those who died in the mass suicide. And they were homemade. And it's apparently a Star Trek reference. Away Team. So, according to fandom.com, an away team was a team of specialized starships or starbase crew members assembled to perform missions on planet surfaces and other starships. These missions, deemed away missions, might include exploration, first contact, diplomacy, scientific research, or even combat. These missions are typically launched using a ship's transporter to send the crew to their destination or by shuttlecraft when use of the transporter was impossible or undesirable.
Wow. I really wish we had a big Star Trek fan among us right now, because I know it's an obsession. I know anyone, Amanda, are you one?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
Still time.
There's still time. My husband and I tried to watch Star Trek Next Generation a few years ago. We started it and we were like, this is good. This is really good. But it was like, it didn't grab us in the way where we were like, okay, this is how I think about life now, you know?
Right. I think we're not the demographic. That's the issue with Star Trek. It's like, it's not in our culture right now to be thinking about aliens
right.
as much.
Right. But it is in our culture to be like all up into astrology. Like, it is terrifying. Yes. I remember, okay, we were shopping for a Christmas gift for my mom, and my niece was. And she's like, what about this Scorpio necklace? And I was like, no, my mom's not really into that kind of thing. she's not going to love it. And my niece is like 10. And she was like, oh, I don't, why? Like, that's so, you know, it's just normal to her to just have a Scorpio necklace, you know? And yeah. And I looked on anthropology.com in their jewelry just to, like, look for a different necklace. And it was like, all of it was astrology. I was like, we can't find anything like normal to give a 73-year-old woman.
It's a fad.
Yeah.
It's a fad right now. And look, I'm a part of this fad. I love my Walter Mercado, but it is, I do have more of a like playful relationship
right.
with astrology.
Are you one of those that would post a meme being like, Aquariuses be like da 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 or something?
No.
No? Okay, good. Well, good.
If Rebecca did that, we'd have to be like, I think she's been hacked.
Yes, yes. Yes, that is very not you. It would scare the shit out of me if you did that, Rebecca.
No, but I don't poo-poo on astrology, but I'm like, here's the thing, and I hate to out my dad in this way, but my dad used to write horoscopes for the local Spanish radio in Miami, so I know that it's fake.
Because he'd just be at home, be like, Becca, can you help me? Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, did he?
Well, what would happen there was some website. There was a woman who did horoscopes, and when she was out of town, he would fill in for her for this website, and then the radio station would pick up these horoscopes and read them on the air, and we'd be driving and be like, oh, I wrote that. And I'd be like, oh, God. So it's fake, guys. It's fake, but we can still have fun with it. But we're digressing, because I do want to put up on the board the 70s hippie culture.
Uh-oh, it's dirty hippies in their hula hoops.
Is that
we've called it in past episodes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Dirty hippies in their hula hoops, which were fresh off the 60s. Definitely. Yes. It was cult central around then, right?
Yeah, and it was a difficult time. You know, there was this end of days mentality that was happening in the 70s. Mm-hmm.
People were losing their religions. Their minds were expanding.
Exactly. There's LSD all of a sudden. You know, Vietnam War was massive. Of course, the Manson happened in 69. And so there's this like thoughts of doomsday and the apocalypse were just part of the culture. And this is a big reason why so many cults thrived during this time.
Right. It was a free for all of like wanderers.
Yeah. And there was it was a time of also like a lot of societal stress, economic struggle. The women and gay rights movements were underway. As we know, Stonewall was 69. There was also a lot of political unrest. Watergate was in 72. I mean, it felt like the world was ending.
Yeah.
In
the nuclear home, the nuclear family was kind of falling apart, or it was sort of being discovered to be like, is this a myth? Which it is, of course. But like, is this really what I want? People were becoming unafraid to leave home.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think that really permeates and allows for this kind of cult stuff to thrive. Now, there's so much more that we need to cover. We have to talk about the internet.
Yes, that seems like it was a big... I mean, the internet's got to go on the board for sure. it feels like such an enabler, as we've seen in, oh my God, just like what's going on now. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
The internet is so scary. Just to like, yeah, Trump's Twitter has just been taken away. That's in the news. And it's like, okay, but then there's all these other scary platforms that only scary people are on. I don't want to just use a blanket term of scary people. Sorry about that, guys. I know you're real people.
Well, the Heaven's Gate cult members, they made a living by being computer programmers.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
So how do we get to the internet? So Nettles dies in 85, as we know, and there's a time period where membership is low in Heaven's Gate, but then Doe or Applewhite, he resurfaces in the early 90s because he starts using the internet as a way of recruiting new members. They were, a lot of these new members are, like Amanda said, computer programmers. They made a living off of designing websites, and they actually had a company called Higher Source. That was the company that would create websites for other companies. And their slogan was, whether using stock or custom photography, cutting-edge computer graphics, or plain HTML text, Higher Source can go from cool to corporate like a chameleon.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is reminding me of Nexium again. I feel like he had, like, his little business ventures, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s.
So, you know, this was a way that the internet not only helped him recruit people, but it actually helped fund this cult. And this is tied into it as well. The internet helped with so many of these conspiracy theories.
Oh, should we put conspiracy theories?
Yes. And I'm wondering if we call it conspiracy theories or conspiracy theorists. Because here's the thing. So the group is together. It's 1995, I believe. And they discover Hale-Bopp Comet, right? Hale-Bopp Comet is coming, and it's going to be a huge astronomical, feat of the 20th event of the 20th century. Okay. So there's this guy by the name of Art Bell, and he's host of a paranormal themed radio program called Coast to Coast AM.
You know this guy, Amanda?
Well, yes, of course. So Coast to Coast, I listened to in high school and college.
Oh my God, Amanda!
Never listened to it?
No.
Yeah, and actually, of course, this makes sense. Maria, who's like Yurio's co-founder and producer of Web Crawlers, was a huge Art Bell Coast to Coast fan. It's worth taking a listen to. It's fascinating.
So he's, you know, he hosts this program, and he's a well-known conspiracy theorist, and he is, you know, he takes calls. Essentially what he does is he creates a platform for other conspiracy theorists to come on and talk about their theories and whatever. And there's a call from this guy named Chuck Schramick. And Schramick. I'm probably saying this wrong. But anyway, Chuck. He's an amateur photographer, and he's an astronomer, and he calls in saying that he has proof that something weird is going on with this Hale-Bopp comet, because apparently he took a photo of it, and something is different in the photo he took. He says that, number one, there's been a lack of photos coming from the Hubble Space Telescope of the comet, so the fact that they've cut them off, to him, proves that there's something sneaky going on with the government that the government doesn't want people to know about. And number two, he says that in the photo that he took, he saw something that with a Saturn-like ring in the background of the comet, and he's certain, and it wasn't Saturn, he's certain it wasn't a star, because he had his star map, and he said, that's not a star, and it's something else. Then, on the broadcast, they have this expert come on. It sounds a little bit almost like The Alarmist. Then they have this guest expert come on, who's Dr. Courtney Brown. He confirms on the program that there is something four times the size of Earth that is behind the comet. And then on the program, he says that there's a message that is being sent to someone who is listening but not hearing. It is essential that this person or persons wake up and listen. What happens? Someone is listening from heaven's gate.
Dope. And they're like, it's me. I'm the one.
Oh, God. This is the problem when you think anyone is talking to you. Just always assume they're not talking about you.
They're not.
No. They're not. No one is thinking about you.
No one's
trust
thinking
me.
About you. No one's talking about you, guys. Listen
and that,
to
this
me
is
now.
All and around. I'm, in school, if you're in high school, and, just
and,
know.
And I'm talking to you right now.
So... who is listening to this? This a member who goes by the nickname of Tal Odie. His real name is Michael Carrier. His nickname before is Michael Carrier, and he's a huge fan of Art Bell's show, just like Amanda and Maria. And Tal runs to Applewhite to tell him what he heard, and that's when Applewhite, you know, listens, and then he decides, oh yeah, this is a sign that that we've been waiting for. We must act now.
Right. I can't tell if conspiracy theories should be on the board or if it's like the type of, yes, conspiracy theorists, because like there's a type of person that hops on this stuff.
Can we put seekers on the board? Because I feel like that's something all of these people maybe in Heaven's Gate had in common in a lot of cults. And I'll also just say real quick that like I hate cults, and every cult I've ever looked into is like terrifying, and they should all, you know, the leader
to join,
should go to jail.
All, in every way.
All the pamphlets you've gone through.
Yeah, but after looking into Heaven's Gate and watching the docuseries that I think is on HBO right now, I have empathy for these people because even the leaders, they seem just like lost people, and the leaders, they didn't hurt anyone outside of themselves, you know? So I do have some empathy for them.
I do too. Honestly, if they didn't have the costumes they had on, we might feel differently. Like, if it was a field full of dead people, like happened at that other cult, you know, where everyone drank the Kool-Aid.
And they did become a real big punchline. Like, I think, you know.
Yes, totally.
They did. Yeah. And it's actually just so, it's really,
really
sad.
It's sad. Watching their videos online all those years ago, I just, like, went to bed so sad and scared. Just, like, thinking about those sweet people who were just like, yeah, I found something.
And now we're going to hear from guest expert Dr. Ben Zeller, associate professor of religion at Lake Forest College and author of Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. He's also featured in the recent HBO documentary series Heaven's Gate, The Cult of Cults. Let's hear what he has to say about the members of the group. So you have actually devoted a lot of time and research into understanding how and why Heaven's Gate members, why this cult attracted its members. Can you speak to that a bit? And was there something that they had in common that drew them to Heaven's Gate?
Yeah, they were a diverse group. So first of all, many of them joined in the 70s. So most members joined in the 70s, and then there were a few who joined in the 80s and 90s. But by the time of the suicides, the exits, as they called them in 97, there were people who had been members for 20 years. So maybe they joined when they were young, but they were middle-aged by the time they were they committed the exits. They were all ages. They were both genders. They were gay. They were straight. They were bi. They were white. They were black. They were Latinx. They were deeply interested in Christianity, and there were others who were not, who were interested more in the UFO angle. There were some who were into sort of New Age practices, crystals and meditations and healings, and others who thought that was frou-frou nonsense. What united all of them was they were seekers. They didn't feel like they belonged in the spiritual religious milieu they were brought up in. They thought they belonged somewhere else, and they couldn't find it until they found Heaven's Gate. Many of them had tried other new religions. They had tried different meditative techniques. They had tried drugs. They had tried communes. They had tried all sorts of stuff. And then they found in Heaven's Gate what they were looking for. So they were seekers. That's the one thing that unites them. And they felt like they didn't belong, and they felt like they were rejected by the planet, and they rejected the planet. They were people who felt as if they just didn't belong. And I think that many of them were people who just didn't fit in. And I think, to me, that's one of the most touching human parts of the story, is that they were people who felt alienated, and they then alienated themselves, literally, they saw themselves as alien.
Listen to the full interview on Thursday's Aftermath episode. Now back to our conversation.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Like, well, how do we encapsulate this sort of the draw of this for people?
It's something about community to me.
Yeah,
to me,
need for community.
The promise of community and the destruction. The thing about religion that we're down on religion because of obvious reasons. You know, there's a lot of ways that religion can be sort of used in nefarious or negative ways, but religion is also what they get right is community. Like if you're a part of a community with a higher purpose, that is so meaningful to people.
And on a deeper level, that's safety too. On like in our caveman brains, that represents safety.
Mm. Yes.
100%. And I like that you said higher purpose too, because that was really a big draw for these people. So maybe we put like need for community and higher purpose as something.
I love that. Just one more thing I wanted to talk about, which is lack of acceptance of gay people in society. Because Applewhite and other members, this is according to the Rolling Stone article, Applewhite and other members underwent castration to help ensure they remained celibate. Applewhite, who had been fired as a music professor of the University of St. Thomas in 1970 after administrators learned he had sex with a male student.
Oh, sought fuck. No, cures this is it.
For his homosexual urges.
You found it. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. I didn't know this
part. He wanted to find a way to have, quote, platonic relationships where he could develop his full potential without sexual entanglement.
Poor thing.
Said one reporter.
I would be curious to know how many members of this group were homosexual and were then told that they weren't supposed to be, or sexual assault victims, because there's a part of this that seems very safe for a sexual assault victim. They're like, okay, this is a safe place to be. These people are castrated. And then it's like, okay, now I don't have to worry about that part of me.
You know, we don't know how many of these people, of these members, were gay or had been victims of sexual
assault. That's a hunch,
assault.
Though. That's a big hunch.
Yeah, but I think, he was at the very least bisexual.
Okay, so we have homophobia and sexual repression up on the board, and that is a big one, I think.
I have something I think to put up on the board, because Toward the end, after Bonnie died, and a lot of people think that Bonnie was actually the one pulling the strings before she died, right, and that Marshall was more of a follower. A lot of the higher up members were actually the ones sort of pushing, like pushing castration, pushing some of the more intense measures. So I'd like to put like high up members of the cult.
Oh, like peer pressure from the higher ups?
I don't even think it's peer pressure, other than like specifically some of these people who were sort of second in command were pulling the strings and sort of, and some people think they were kind of manipulating Applewhite.
So we're trying to figure out, our main question is, why did these smart people kill themselves, right? Like, how did we get there? Is that the main question here?
Who's to blame for the mass suicide?
Right.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's right.
We'll go into the elimination phase here. Who is to blame for Heaven's Gate? Is it Marshall, Herf, Applewhite, Bonnie Nettles, the Bible, astrological charts, Book of Revelations, Chapter 11, Moon Landing, Obsession with Alien Life, Star Trek, Dirty Hippies and Their Hula Hoops, The Internet, Conspiracy Theorists, Art Bell from Coast to Coast, Seekers, Need for Community and Higher Purpose, Homophobia, Sexual Repression, or High Up Cult Members?
So, just off the bat, I think we can take the moon landing off.
Okay. Yeah, we can sort of, we can definitely put that in there with Obsession with Alien Life.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Star Trek can be incorporated into Obsession with Alien Life?
I agree.
That sounds good.
I mean, for some reason, they particularly took to Star Trek, but I think in general, they loved UFOs, so...
Along the same lines, with alien life. Maybe astrological charts could also be wrapped up into that.
Sure. Sounds good.
Yeah. If it wasn't that, it could have been something else that Bonnie convinced Applewhite.
Yeah.
Or Marshall.
I don't know if conspiracy... this is tough. I feel like maybe... the internet isn't quite to blame, just because the internet is now more powerful than ever and we haven't seen a big death cult in a while.
Well, but I will say that it was the form of connection and it was their form of income.
Right.
So if there was no internet, there probably wouldn't have been a Heaven's
Gate. Or at least a second wave, right.
A second wave.
Right.
But I think we can take, I'm wondering if we fold Art Bell into conspiracy theories.
Yes.
He did give them a platform, though.
That's true, but then the internet was also a platform. I feel like Reddit could be is the new Art Bell.
Right.
By the way, Coast to Coast is still on.
Okay.
Art Bell is deceased, but there's a new host.
Or is it Art Bell from beyond the grave?
In a new container.
In an alien container.
What is this new container? Do we know the host?
What is this new container?
I can look that up.
The Bible possibly could be wrapped into Book of Revelations if we
for
want to
sure.
be yeah. specific.
What about taking out the need for a community and higher purpose? I mean, I feel like that is a basic human need that we all have, and we've had for a long time, probably since the beginning of humankind.
Yeah.
So that particular need can be sufficed or quelled in a different way.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily have to be
that,
vehicles.
That could also be kind of a wrapped up into seekers, because, yeah, we all have a need for community, but we're not all sort of out there being like, who, you know, looking for a cult.
Yeah, we all become right. seekers at different points in our life. So it's really hard to figure out where that leap is made and how.
I think we've got to go to the top of the triangle.
As they say, right, Amanda?
Shit trickles down.
Yuck.
Shit trickles down.
Shit trickles down.
I don't like thinking about shit trickling.
Sorry, Kelly,
exactly.
It does.
All right.
I'm taking the Dirty Hippies and their Hula Hoops off of the list, which kind of encapsulates that 70s culture, because let's be honest, it happened again in the 90s. So
and just so we don't get any more angry emails, the last time we referenced Dirty Hippies and their Hula Hoops, somebody wrote in explaining that Hula Hoops were invented in the I think the 40s or the 50s. And that hippies and hula hoops don't always go together.
No, so I don't think they ever go together.
We still have Marshall Herf, Applewhite, Bonnie Nettles, Book of Revelations, Chapter 11, Obsession with Alien Life, The Internet, Conspiracy Theorists, Homophobia/Sexual Repression, and Higher Up Cult Members. This is where it starts getting tough. I do think the Book of Revelations has been used as a tool to make an excuse for a lot of cults.
Yeah, and say this is an actual prediction.
So I wonder if, like, the writer, I forget who wrote the Book of Revelations. Was it John?
I don't know.
Let's get the fact checker on.
I feel like the writer, it made Kuntz. It too... No, the writing is too vague in this Book of Revelations.
What I had heard in a... It must have been an episode of Radiolab or something. It was like, this part of the Bible, like, none of these references are universal. Like, they are very specific to the time it was written. Mm. Like, these, like, demons, they're, like, referring to a specific group of people. Like, this king is referred to as, like, the beast. And, like, there's all this stuff about the devil in Revelations, and it's, like, not the devil. It's about this, like, king that was horrible or something, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The author names himself as John, but his precise identity is a point of academic debate.
Let's chalk it up to a group of complete idiots. No offense.
I feel like the internet was more of the problem here than the conspiracy theorists.
But don't you think, like, in today's, we should just, like, have conspiracy theorists up on the board just a little bit longer for just to make people today think about it? Like,
we should think about that and how your conspiracy theories can actually lead to someone doing making a decision to cause harm.
Like storming the Capitol.
Storming the Capitol. Okay. Let's take off the internet then and leave conspiracy theorists.
Okay. Right. Yeah, we'll make them sweat.
And I think that we can take off the Book of Revelations and leave Obsession with Alien Life. No, actually, I take that back. Take off the Obsession of Alien Life and leave Book of Revelations.
Yeah.
Because I think that's at the core. Alien Life came later. They just happened to be obsessed with alien.
Right. It was an incorporation, not the base foundation.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say at this point, I'd be okay with taking off the Higher Up cult members because they were, you know, brought into it by Doe and T.
Yes.
So I think ultimately...
Yeah.
That's where we should be.
And we weren't
attention.
There. Wait, can we take homophobia and sexual repression off of the list?
It doesn't lead to the death. I think you're right.
So we still have Marshall, Bonnie, Book of Revelations, and conspiracy theorists up on the board. Now we have to decide who is going to get the big slap as well. Now I have a gut feeling.
Ooh.
I want to send Doe and T both to the alarmist jail together.
That was my also. I want to do that too.
because they are the two, and I think they set up the groundwork, even though he was the one who kind of completed the task, and we don't know if she would have there's no way to know if she would have stopped it if she was around.
Right.
But
although
I just don't feel good.
What's interesting about Bonnie is it came out afterward that she was corresponding with her daughter like the whole time she was running the cult. So while everyone else had fully cut themselves off from their families, Bonnie was writing her daughter letters being like, go to college, like, you know, have a normal life.
She was not practicing what she preached.
One foot in, one foot out. Would she have taken the applesauce?
I don't think Bonnie would have, honestly. I think Marshall was a true believer. I think Bonnie had a little bit more of, you know, she was getting something out of it.
Like, often the leader is that. They kind of understand that this is all a sham.
Yeah,
and that they're doing this for survival purposes or whatever. Like, Charlie Manson didn't actually do the murders and all that.
Right, which makes her more guilty in my mind. Because you're taking advantage of these people.
However, true. She wasn't there for the mass suicide. Like, yeah. Maybe she would have stopped it. We don't know. So I like sending both of them.
Okay, so who do you want to give the slap? I have mine.
You do?
My vote. Yeah.
I'm leaning toward Book of Revelations.
Same.
Wow.
I've had it out for that chapter, I mean, for that book, for my whole life. I've always been like, what is this? Stop!
So I think it's settled. I'm going to call it.
All right.
Book of Revelations, chapter 11. You're getting the big slap. Marshall Herf Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Yep. Marshall Herf Applewhite, I will say I would have made that name up, and then Chris would have made up Bonnie Nettles. Yeah. Especially the Herf part. Like, Herf? Yes. What is Herf?
That is a Kelly Hudson name. Kelly Hudson.
Yes, it's similar to the Tond, my other character.
Alarmy, do yourself a favor and go Google Tond, T-O-N-D, and you can see Kelly Hudson's brilliant short film, Tond.
All right.
Okay, we did it.
We did it, guys. We solved it.
After the Heaven's Gate mass suicide. According to Rolling Stone, 20 years after the mass suicide made headlines across the world, Heaven's Gate is still one of the most notorious cults of the 20th century, not to mention one of the most recognizable. After the suicides, Nike soon discontinued the style of sneaker that the members had worn due to its macabre associations. Since then, the shoes have become a collector's item. An unworn pair, apparently discovered in a storage unit in Arizona, is up for auction on eBay for the asking price of $6,660, bearing Applewhite's face as part of its advertising. The Heaven's Gate website has remained mainly untouched since 1997. It is believed two of its surviving members still operate the cult's website. If you're compelled, a simple Google search will direct you there. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at @thealarmistthe on Twitter, at @thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the 2013 DACA garment factory collapse.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.